This is recording. You brought this on
here. Regent Wi-Fi. But username, Regent Wi-Fi, password, B-O-Z-R 209, right? 209. What about, do you have a thing that shows your the different Wi-Fi's that are available? If you go to that instead of the, that page.
Maybe I got it wrong, huh? Let me start over again.
Okay, this one.
Okay, go here.
There you go, Wolverine Wi-Fi.
Oh. Okay. Disconnect. Okay, now it's connected.
So are you on the network?
No.
Do we have it?
Oh, it's taking you there, isn't it?
There's something down lower. Oh, maybe that's conference and business guests. That's probably where I need to go. Yeah. It seriously need temporary. Maybe I need to go there.
Try that one.
Yeah,
conference and business.
Yeah, yeah. There, but they should put that in their in their instructions.
Are there, yeah,
it's should have added
right
that.
There. BOR 2019.
That's probably why I didn't.
So are you on the just the Wolverine Wi-Fi?
Yeah.
So I'm on. I guess from the previous time, unless
it's making me put my name in now.
Because
my name or my bank account number.
Wants all the good information.
They always like give you the instructions, but they don't give you the full instructions.
That one, the conference and conference.
Full instructions.
Yeah.
And then
I figured it out. Just took a minute. Well, you go on, a page comes up, and it says username, password. Well, you got to scroll down and find business meeting. But see, nobody wrote that on the paper. It's kind of like when somebody gives you directions, they go down there three streets and turn left, and you go down there and like there's these little side streets that are down there. New York guy. And this takes quite a while to get on their internet.
When we moved into our neighborhood, it wasn't on the map, so we had to tell UPS how to get there. And we had to do that. Take three lefts, one right, and a left. And it's a cul-de-sac.
It says it's connected, but it's I'm getting ready to call the service desk here right away.
Try another tab while you're there.
See if I'm on.
Yeah, see if you're on.
I'm on.
Try the regent at uc.edu.
I am in the process.
There you go.
So where do I get this?
So, for the regents and meetings.
Do you schedule agendas?
Yep. Scroll down. So this one's ours, the finance and facilities meeting.
So if I click on that.
You click on that, and then there will be a link at the top to go to the full agenda afterwards.
Back to all meetings?
Yeah,
Well, I want to go ahead and get started. I know we're a couple of minutes off, but we have a full agenda. We got to do it in a half hour. We have about 5 minutes per item. So at the end of 5 minutes, we're going to say, sorry, that's the end of that. We're moving on. So we're going to turn time over to Val, Vice President Val Peterson at Utah Valley University to talk about a non-state funded project.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Maybe I'll give this quick. Thanks, Mr. Chair. So that's why I'm going to talk about our institutional advancement building. As you know, fundraising on any campus is a key component. And as you look at what's happened here at Utah Valley, it's the same type of thing. When you look at our business building, the legislature paid for two-thirds, but we had to raise a third of that money, $25 million, so we could start the project. And so as you look at our institutional advancement function, it is spread out between four different homes on campus, which has made it difficult to coordinate and create the public face that institutional advancement needs to create as they work to raise money for the institution. So we're asking today for approval to build an institutional advancement building for institutional advancement function here at Utah Valley University. As you can see, looking at the project overview, it's a 24,000 square foot building. We estimate the cost on it to be $80 million. And it would house all the functions that make up the advancement function. So our alumni relations, major gifts, alumni relations, communications, also our executive events team fall within this group. And so just to give you an idea of where it would go, it would go over on 8th South next to our autism building. There's currently two homes that are there. We would raise those two homes to create the construction site for this. And it would actually help kind of anchor that side of campus. We would take, we'd get some additional efficiencies by putting it over there, by being able to use that parking lot that's on that side of campus. This one shows you a little bit of the floor plan, how it lay out. We've, as you know, we continue to grow at a rapid rate, so we've put in some additional space in this building for the growth that would happen. Scott's function now, I think, has about 100 employees, both full and part-time, that he has functioning throughout these four buildings. It would be really advantageous for him and his team to be able to consolidate them together. As I said, financing on it, it's an $8 million building. It would be about $334 a square foot. We just got some estimates the other day on a different building. They were at $309, so it's right in that range. And the way we would fund that building is through our institutional funds, through our designated projects. And with that, Mr. Chair, I'll be open to any questions.
Questions? Here's an editorial comment. Seems like it would be better if you called it an alumni building that houses institutional, that also houses institutional.
It's great advice. We'll consult about that then and talk about it, because it absolutely hosts our alumni function. As you know, our alumni is growing at a rapid rate as we graduate approximately 6,000.
I just think it's going to be hard for you to go out to donors and say, will you donate to a fundraising building that helps us raise funds?
Sure.
But if you said, will you donate to an alumni center that will and have part of the building have some alumni function in that, which sounds like you are trying to have.
Absolutely.
And then say, we want an alumni center where alumni can come and receive help and support and that kind of stuff. Does that make sense?
It does.
Yeah.
The one thing that this building does not have any event space in it, such as the Milling University of Utah. This is all office space, but it does fit into what you're saying.
Well, maybe I like look at that a little bit.
Okay. Good advice.
Anybody have any other questions? Anybody want to make a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion to approve the Utah Valley University non-state funded project. Add it to the November Board of Regents consent calendar. Is that what your motion is?
Yeah.
So any other discussion?
You said it perfectly, Mr. Chair.
Well, I read it just the way Rich wrote it. Any other discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, we'll move on to motion carries. We'll move on to the next item, Utah State University property acquisition. And we'll turn the time over to Dave Calley, Vice President Dave Calley. There he is.
Can I just hear him?
Yeah, absolutely.
I'll have a presentation. So, you should have in your packets this map exhibit A. That'll be the easiest thing to refer to. We have the opportunity to acquire another property on Darwin Avenue. Darwin Avenue is, for anybody who is a little bit familiar with the campus, it's just to the west of our core campus. The big building that you see down in the lower part of the kitchen, that's actually the LDS Institute building. And just across the street to the right, you see a little bit of our student center. So that should orient you just a little bit. This property is of interest and has been for a long time for us, as is everything else on Darwin Avenue, because this is one of the few areas where we could purchase property over time that is on the same it's on the same grade as our core campus. We have a cemetery on one side, and you fall off of Old Main Hill on the west, and to the south, you fall off another hill down through what we call the island, and residential neighborhoods to the east. And so we are fairly landlocked and limited in property that we acquire on that same grade. And so we've always been interested in any property that's on that same grade. Before I tell you just a little bit about the property, if you'll look across to the left on this map, you'll see a couple of other purple boxes that say Utah State University. Those are three parcels that we acquired a few years ago. They all have housing units on them. Our housing services run those. There are two properties with two different buildings in between those two purple shapes. And we are very familiar with the owner of those two properties. He's not yet ready to either donate those to USU and or sell those to USU. He likes continue to run those properties. He is an older gentleman, but he has indicated that he would like those to become Utah State property in the future. So we're really hoping that we will be able to get a nice size block of land that would allow either academic expansion or housing expansion in the future, depending on the needs of the campus. The subject property in yellow, however, is a fairly new structure that was built about 6 years ago. It has three bedroom, two bath apartments, and it has a restaurant. And the owners approached us and asked us if we would be interested in that. We were. We had an appraisal done, came back at $1,600,000, and negotiated with them, and they are willing to accept $1,700,000. So that's just slightly over appraisal. We felt that was reasonable based on what they were really hoping to get out of that property, and we would like your approval to purchase this property for $1,700,000. We would add it to our housing inventory. Housing would actually pay for it from their repair and replacement funds, and with the capital from this property, they would be able to replenish the funds that they used to purchase this in 15 years.
So, are you going to use this building for?
We'll just use it for housing.
Oh, for housing.
We'll use it for housing.
Any other comments or questions?
It says it's got a restaurant. You got to close the restaurant? Or
keep the restaurant. In fact, they just signed another 5-year agreement. It's called Morty's, if you've ever been there. Great hamburgers.
So there's housing in the upper stories and that then?
The main level has the restaurant and a little bit of it's not a garage, but there's some parking underneath. And then two units on the second floor and one unit on the third floor.
I guess I'm going to just make another editorial comment that I know that a lot of times we purchase property that's contingent to existing campuses. It's really expensive property for the amount of property you get. That's the challenge. And we're always so short on money in education. And I guess it's critical to have property that's contiguous because it helps, you know, function and the campuses grow. But, boy, it's really expensive to do that. And so I think we need to be really careful as we look at pieces of property and what's really the uses and all that. and what do we end up with in that? That's,
I'm just curious, Mr. Chairman, on how do you go about selecting the appraiser for a project like that?
We have a variety of commercial appraisers, so we check the availability of those appraisers and select between typically three of them.
Are they local?
One is local, and two are out of Salt Lake that we use frequently. This one, I believe, is McCoy. You're familiar with that company. McCoy appraiser. MAI appraiser. In this particular case, the property is new enough that we really do just intend to continue to use that for housing for there, because the building is fairly new. This isn't the type of thing that we're looking at purchasing just to take down for something else.
I understand.
And as I said, the cash flow is pretty good, and we'll replenish the funds in 15 years, so that's now.
Okay, anybody want to make a motion?
Also move.
Okay, so we have a move, motion to approve.
Second.
Any other discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, motion carries. We'll move to the next item. Next item is University of Utah refunding of bonds. So we'll turn some time over to Kathy Anderson.
Good morning. As I'm sure you know, Regent Policy 590 allows for universities to request authorization for revenue refunding bonds at an unspecified future date. We've had one in the past that has expired, so we would like to have another one, so we're putting forward this request. We will be looking at the parameters around this, that the principal amount would not exceed $100 million. Rates not to exceed 5%, discount from par not to exceed 2%, and final maturity not to exceed 25 years. And so we're looking for this to be issued now, and then expiration of authorization on May 15th, 2021.
Okay, anybody have any questions or?
Well, that's a range, so whether we would actually ever use that full amount. And obviously, if we ever do these, we go through the state process that comes and has to have region's approval. So.
Well, and it's being used to refund existing, so presumably it'll only be used if you can save money on existing obligations.
And I think Kathy mentioned, but part of the authorization is that it at least saves 3%. That was part of the parameters, is at least the net present value of 3%.
Okay.
I move approval.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve authorizing a resolution to allow the University of Utah to refund prior issued debt and add it to the November Board of Regents consent calendar. So any other discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, motion passes. Next item is Weber State University, and we'll have Steve Neighbor and Wendell Rich.
Yeah.
I don't know which is going to be the the spokesperson. Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Wendell Rich from Weber State University. I'm representing Norm Tarbox. He was able to be here with us today. Yes, we are seeking authorization to refund our 2010 student facility bonds. They were actually issued as taxable Build America bonds back in 2010. And the market is favorable right now to refund those bonds. The savings would be approximately 4.87% or about $550,000 over about 20 years. So we're looking to take advantage of that environment right now. We never thought we'd be refunding these bonds because they were issued as taxable Build America bonds, but the rates are very good right now, so we're hoping to take advantage of getting your approval on that.
Anybody have any other comments or questions?
Makes sense.
We get a motion?
I'll make that motion.
Okay, we have motion.
Second.
Second to approve this. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, motion carries. Well, we're ripping right through these, Rich.
Yeah.
Okay, next item is Dixie State University revenue bonds for construction. So, Paul. Oh, there's Paul.
Just here for final approval on our bond bill for our new student housing project. One thing you might be interested in is the cost escalation that DFCM and cost estimator put on this building. It appears to be a little high. And then the design build process that looks like we may get 500 beds instead of 450. So we're very excited about that, and we need that capacity. So that'd be something we'd be interested in. But 32-year bond, 2 years capitalized interest payments will be under construction at that point, 30-year repayment schedule. Dr. Designs, we're hoping for an interest rate to interest cost around 3%. Sales plan for December 5th. We do need to start a little earlier on the project than we thought. The building's going to be a little bigger, so we need to start in January. So with that, any questions you might have on finalizing this bond bill for our student housing?
So you have some existing housing there you're going to tear down, right?
Yeah.
So what are the students going to do that are living there now if you're leaving in January?
For them, okay. And one of the newest private buildings, we contracted them for, in one case, about 30 beds, and in another case, for about 18 beds.
So you're only displacing 48 beds?
46. We've had 46 beds. We've got it worked out. It won't cost the student anything. They'll actually go from a 60-year building to a 2-year-old building, a 1-year-old building. Private bedroom, private bath. They're pretty excited. So overall, I think the students are happy. We talked to many of the parents, too, and they understand why we're doing it, and we're working.
So you're going to replace 48 beds with 450 to 500 beds, huh?
That's right.
Be good. Okay. Anybody have any?
No. Makes sense.
Anybody want to make a motion on that?
I'll move for approval. Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve the authorizing resolution to allow Dixie State University to issue general revenue bonds to construct student housing. And we'll add that to the consent calendar. Any other discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, that's the items on our agenda. Oh, we got one on the back. That's right. Excuse me.
Can I?
Yeah, I will. I forgot that. I'll do that in the end. Okay, next item is Task Force for UC Growth Funding Policy. Oh, actually, I wanted to talk about this, so I'm glad we turned over the page. Okay. So we're going to turn some time to Rich, and he's going to talk about that a little bit.
So this is on our agenda for the Committee of the Whole, and we discussed this in our October meeting, but I know that several of you weren't able to be there, so I thought I'd just recap it really quickly, and Wilfred, if you'd like to make any comments as we go along, then the idea was is that we'll put together a model to help with budget requests for institutions that are growing, to kind of be a companion to our performance funding budget requests. And so we put together this model. The intention was is to pursue legislation to make this kind of a permanent addition to what we do. There's a lot going on, as you all know, with the Higher Education Commission. And so for that reason, there's not an appetite to pursue legislation this year, but instead that there is understanding for a budget request. And so we're changing a little bit our trajectory from legislation to adding this as a budget request. And so we'll discuss this in Committee of the Whole, and in that meeting, would like you to make a recommendation to add that to the budget that we put together in September. But there's an item that would like the committee's input on is how we calculate this growth funding model. And so what we've done with from the September, there's the task force that met, and most of you were there at Utah State where we put together this model. And from there, we made some adjustments based on the comments from that task force where we added, the model looks at the growth in FTE, so student enrollments, and looks at milestones, which would be we've defined as like the 100 FTE marks. So every time institutions hit that growth of 100 FTE, we want to associate a specific budget amount for them to receive for those students. And the way we calculate that is based on a cost study that our office has done for years that looks at the cost of education for our higher education institutions. And we've made some adjustments based on the type of institution and the funding they get for it, as well as for institutional size. And you can see here, so the smaller institutions would receive actually a little bit more in way of funding versus the institutions that have more than 10,000 FTE already. So it's kind of scalable with the idea that, you know, economies of scale need a little bit less funding than those that are smaller that are growing. So from there, what we'd like your input on is this model that we put together. So there's two sides of cost. So obviously the FTE is what it is, but associated with every FTE is what we say is either just instructional support or full cost. So direct instruction, that's your faculty. You know, that's the cost that it takes to instruct the student from kind of the faculty perspective. The full cost includes administration, so all the overhead for the university, the academic support, which is kind of the administration for academics like libraries, audiovisual, you know, could be online coursework. Student services, obviously that's the counseling, the financial aid, all those services, and it includes the physical plant, operation and maintenance. So the two models, this is what it looks like with the calculations, and the end result is, so instruction only is a $3.3 million request, and I'll show you, let's see, I skipped over, these are who would be receiving this year based on the current data that we have. We have not yet put in fall numbers. Those are still being calculated for end of term. But this guy, based on initial estimates, you can see where that falls out. And so the conversation that we'd like to have with this committee is to get your input on whether we should go forward with a budget request for just the instruction-only piece of it, or if we should look at the full cost. And again, the considerations as you think about that would be, you know, funding is kind of is a pie that, you know, you take from one and you give to another. And so our main request is performance funding. And so to balance out the budget request with the performance funding that we already have versus also what we can communicate, you know, the value of the growth, the trying to accommodate the growth in our student population, and especially those institutions that are growing. So that's kind of the framework, Mr. Chair, if you want to comment.
So could I ask a question, like you said, like, for example, if we do the full cost, $6 million, as opposed to the instructional at three-something, what where's that $3 million going to be taken from in that? I mean,
I think that's the conversation. Is that, you know, it's a budget request, and so we already have the budget that was set out already, right? So we have the $30 million for compensation ish, the $30 million ish for performance funding, and our UCAC, which is a $3 million request. This would be another part of that, and
would this be an add-on to that?
It would, exactly. But recognizing we don't know what we'll get, right? That is, we go to the legislature with our request, and we could get more, we could get substantially less.
But if you don't ask for more, you're not going to get it.
I think the question really is, if you use one approach versus the other, do you think you're going to get more money than, or is this really just figuring out how you allocate whatever we do get?
And I think that's the other piece of it is, we'd like to make this part of our ongoing process, right? That was the intention. And so the full cost model includes those things that we just discussed. And I think that's really the conversation. Do you feel comfortable if that's how we calculate growth to include everything, all of the administration and everything?
I mean, if I may, I just make it the observation, if you're using this just to allocate a given amount of funding, I'd argue you use the first of all, the simplest is using just the instructional cost, and it also has the benefit of creating sort of an incentive to get everybody to focus their expenditures on instructional costs. In other words, you can't pad your numbers by building a lot of buildings, to Walter's earlier comment. It's really focused on what is the cost of instruction, as opposed to creating kind of an incentive to spend a lot of money on other things, if you will. But if the intent is to show the legislature here's what the full cost of educating students is, you'd want to use the full cost model. Now, if you think that by showing them a larger number you're going to get more money, I guess is how it strikes me. If that makes any sense.
Yes.
Well, my comment is that if you don't ask, you're not going to get it. That's for sure. So when you talk about if you're growing, it's not just the instructional costs that you have to have. I mean, there's other costs associated with that. That's reality. I mean, there's a very defensible argument that we should use the full cost approach. And I thought we'd talked in the last couple of meetings and we'd kind of settled that we wanted to really focus on the full cost method. And so I was kind of surprised that we're still talking about should it be instruction or full cost. But I mean, obviously there's so much money out there and they're going to allocate so much to UC. But if you add another $3 million there, maybe you'll get an extra million, maybe you'll get the same amount and you have to allocate it the other way. I mean
if you look at the relative proportion for each institution of full cost to instructional, I mean, they're all pretty, it's like 1.8 at times. I mean, so
right. Yeah.
For every right. dollar of instruction, you're spending
right.
80 cents. But I guess the point I was trying to make is, I mean, some institutions will show better if they're spending more on physical plant. That gets that number higher for them, and you'd like to have the focus on instructional piece. But
for Dixie State, we're evolving, and many of that non-instructional instructional cost area are service areas, student services, general counsel, as office would be a good example, police force. We're evolving that area, and we haven't had sufficient staff to this community. So that non-instructional cost piece to us is very important to support the growth, and as we evolve, we're trying to put those services in place. So it's really important for us to try and ask for that full cost model, get the resources where we really need them.
Well, if you're really funding growth,
yep.
those are real costs that are necessary. Maybe there needs to be some other kind of tool to make sure that full cost doesn't get out of line when you start. Maybe you set that it can't be over this factor or something like that. Maybe you take the average of the institutions,
yeah.
or maybe you come up and say it is 1.8, so your costs are more than 1.8, but we're only going to allow up to 1.8 so that they can expand that area or something.
I mean, to me, it was more like if you're going to get a given amount of money, and then how do we allocate it to institutions? It's a different. Whereas if we show a higher number, is that going to help support the case for more money? Then I'd clearly say let's show them the higher number.
Okay, we got a couple of minutes left. President Mortensen?
Yeah, just really quick. I think, since this is a request, and we have a number of executive appropriations in the room, so maybe I shouldn't speak. But the credibility of the argument just on the face of it for the legislators is going to be really important on whether it gets funded or not. If you look at those categories up there, I mean, clearly some of those you can directly tie growth in those to growth, or growth in FTE to growth in expenditures. You need more advisors, you need more counseling services, financial aid, people to process, all of that. If it's the full cost, though, I mean, that's, you know, do we need, does Weber State need another Steve Neighbor and Wendell Rich if we grow by 100 students? Probably not. So is there something in between that kind of reflects?
Well, that's what I'm saying, is maybe you set a factor and right. you only take go to that factor.
Right. Yeah. I think that would have more credibility with the legislature and give the model a better chance to get support.
Well, and if there's some things in there, I mean, because I think you have a valid argument, if there's some things in there that don't make sense, then we ought to, because fixed costs kind of go like this.
Right.
So what you're saying is, well, I can go along so far, but at some point in time, then I have to jump up and add another person.
Yeah.
But maybe I can grow so much without expending some of those things. But to be able to say we're going to grow and we're not going to provide additional safety measures, mental health, the counseling, all those kinds of things, I mean, it's not reality. You know, we've got to include those things, and so if we're really funding growth, we've got to include some of those things in there, I think. So maybe you're right. Maybe it needs to be adjusted, and maybe there's a certain factor that you say, a certain factor of the full cost needs to be included in growth, but maybe it's not the full cost, you know what I mean? I think that makes sense. Somebody else had a comment?
Oh, I was just going to mention
Commissioner?
One thing, Sherry, is that we're fooling ourselves if we think it's just going to be an additional $6 million onto our budget request, right? I mean, that's how we'll present it to the legislature, but at the end of the day, that money's going to come out of performance funding or it's going to come out of the other. And I'm not advocating one or the other, but there's just, it's not feasible that we're going to get what we've asked for the performance funding and then an additional $6 million. So just, and again, I'm not advocating one way or the other, but we've got to understand that it's not going to be an additional six. It's going to come out of one of those two pots.
But maybe it'll be an additional one. You never know. If you don't ask, it won't happen, that's for sure.
Well, then I think, if I may add, the act of asking, the act of articulating the rationale we just talked about today, even if the legislature says, no, it's important. We had a conversation yesterday about the demographics of Utah and demographics is destiny. And we need to keep that in mind, even if it's just in terms of advancing this discourse that you have to understand. We have another 5,000 students or 500 students. All of these things, you know, they do matter. So I advocate for presenting it in a way.
Well, what does the committee want to do? Our time's up. We need to decide. Are we going to do instruction only, the full cost model, or something in between, like maybe President Morton has recommended?
I like your factor, because you can back into that and express why you did it the way you did it. Instead of just adding the full six, you take, if it's 1.8, that needs to be calculated. At least you can back into that. But I agree with Dave, it's going to end up at the end of the day. You ask for this, you get a certain amount, and then you're going to allocate it as you need to allocate it. But I like the using some kind of a factor, because it shows we actually have a lid and we have a formula.
I agree with that too. I think that it's somewhere in that middle of just allocating, because you don't need a physical plant for 100 people, but you need mine for 500. I mean, you know, what is it? So I think that is all or nothing, not all or nothing, but just instructional. There's somewhere in the middle that.
When do we have to have this formula all figured out?
So we need the budget request today, but we can figure out the formula going forward. So if you wanted to say, so if you wanted to come at a request and we could just apply a factor between the two, as far as the budget request, you know, if you wanted to take 6.2 and then multiply by 80%, We need a number today so we can take that as part of our package to the legislature. But we can work on this model in the interim, because it's not going to be statute this year.
Question. As we're proceeding and we go for the ask, let's pick a number. $4 million something in that.
Right.
I'm not saying that's the number, but I'm just picking a number. Is the likelihood, and this is a tougher question for me, if we're asking for that, it's taken from some other important pot, is that more important to spread it out than to have it in growth and performance, if that's likely? And if we're not getting new money,
right,
are we okay with that? If we're getting new money, then everyone would be happy, even if it's $1 million or $2 million or whatever else. I just don't know how to.
It would be new money.
That risk.
It would be new money, but your question is it going to take away from the $30 million performance funding request? And probably. So it's, would we get 36 million, or would we get 30 and 24 performance, 6 for growth? That's, we don't know.
I think one of the things really important to remember here as we go through this growth funding process is why we went with a new model for growth funding. And it's because the way the performance funding is set up, the larger institutions with the more budget,
that's
are
right,
actually always getting more of the FTE as well as the budget side of things for the performance funding. And so this was meant to kind of offset that,
right,
so if institutions grow, that will start to equalize out a little bit as things move forward. So I just keep that in mind as we move forward. That's
right,
what the intent of the growth
that's
funding
right
was. So if we just all continue to put in the performance funding, the more the money is always going to go to Utah State University and the University of Utah. That's how it is.
As
institutions continue to grow, then if we have the growth funding, then they start to catch up a little bit with that formula that's already in place in statute with the 50-50. So
that's right.
That was the intent of why we started going down this road. So don't lose sight of that as we move forward.
So what about this idea that Rich says, let's take 80% of that and say there are some other costs involved that we absolutely have to take care of, and that's kind of a bit of a compromise on that. And then we'll have to figure out how we got the 80%, and we'll back to back into that.
Yeah. So, Rich, go back to your models.
Yeah, I would like that.
So,
do we need to have a vote on this?
80% is roughly $5 million. So, that's a good.
So, just
a, good,
so just a minute, though. Go back to the model, Rich, that showed all the different areas that you included in there.
Yeah.
Because I agree with President Mortensen, we've got to have some reasoning why when we go to the legislature, what are these other costs besides direct instruction? And some of these, like physics plant and stuff, we already have a request for that, your facilities and everything else. Exactly. So is there things on here that, Rich, is your formula detailed enough that if we took out administration, we took out some of these other areas that we could calculate it with those out?
You have those numbers, handled?
In our cost study, do we have all the categories?
Yes.
Then we could subtract one or two or three.
It's not directly in the cost study, but we can use A1s to do that, yeah.
Or can you have it by the time we talk about it in our general session?
Yes.
Okay. Let's do we need a motion or something?
So which ones would you want to exclude? Are you talking about excluding like plant and administration?
I think academic support makes sense. Student services makes sense.
So basically, but instruction plus these two?
Yep.
Okay. Well, we'll work on some numbers. So this is what I will present in the committee of the whole.
Okay, so we don't need a motion right now, right?
No.
Okay.
But this will give me.
Okay, we were doing really good on our time until the last item and got all stuff. But just two quick things. One is I wanted to introduce Malin Francis. Where's Malin? Malin is now going to be our director of facilities and planning. So he's kind of taking over where Rich was before Rich got promoted this job. So welcome. What were you doing prior to this?
I was director of planning and design.
Oh, okay. Okay, so you've come from. And the other thing is our next meeting is scheduled for December 13th at 10 a.m. So is our committee okay with that? You can come in by phone or show up at the commissioner's office and meet.
December 13th.
So everybody's got that on their calendar. And I think after the December 13th meeting, we ought to reassess and say, is this the way we want to do our meetings and have like meetings at other times, or do we just come and stay a longer day on Friday here and try to still have the meeting and that? But the finance committee, probably we're going to have a little short meeting because there's a lot of things that are moving all the time really fast, and if we have to be like a month ahead and then and it you know, and that's why we ended up with this short meeting. So anyhow, we need to move to the next thing. I'd accept a motion to adjourn, or if we have no other items, I guess we can just be adjourned. No other items, we'll be adjourned.